We warmly welcome Jennifer as our speaker for this Monday Night Crew Miracles meeting on June 29th. When you speak, it is considered implied consent to have your voice and your share recorded and posted on oafootsteps.com as a podcast. To preserve your anonymity, please use only your first name or an alias when you share. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. And Jennifer, I'll pass it over.
Thank you so much. My name is Jennifer, and I am a compulsive overeater. To qualify myself, I have been coming to OA meetings for a little over 2 years. I started in March 2024. Is that right? I think so. I think that's right. I became abstinent in April 2024. And when I came into program, I was 457 pounds. I have since released 150 pounds. And yeah, through the miracle of the steps and all that kind of fun stuff, but I'll go over that. Anyway, so as a young kid, I started hiding food around 5 or 6, grabbing a handful of something and running back to my bedroom to eat it. And I think that's kind of where I started some of my food behaviors. When I was 9, I started babysitting and I discovered other people's pantries and cupboards and all the fun things that were not in my house because my mom tried to make sure we had healthy things in the house, and tried to limit the amount of sugar that we had access to. Also, when I was 9, there was a family tragedy. Grandfather died. Pretty much all saw it on the side of a road. It was fun. Not really. But anyway. So I think the two kind of happening when I was 9 kind of coincide, that I didn't know how to handle those emotions. So food is readily available, particularly around funerals. People bring food, and that was of great comfort to me, and it worked at that time. I'd always been a bigger kid. I like to say I was born at 10 pounds and just went up from there. Because I always remember looking around from an early age. I remember looking around at my classmates and thinking, I'm the biggest kid in this class. And whether that was true or not, I don't know, but that was my perception. When I was in the 6th grade, I went to my first pay and weigh. And I remember I had some success. I got down to a size 9 women's pant, and that's the smallest I remember being in my current memory. Which tells you something because that was in the 6th grade. I was what, 11? So not even fully grown at that point. As I went on, kind of one of the normal themes in my life was my mom was always very worried about my weight. And so, because of that, I hid a lot of my eating. I tried to exercise to hide the amount of weight I was gaining. And quickly realized that that was a losing battle as I would look at the nutrition label on the back of a box of something and know that, okay, I ate that whole box. Wait, that whole box was 1,000 something calories. I'm doing this exercise for 45 minutes and it says I only burned, 100. Well, I'm never gonna equal that out. When I was in, I don't remember how old I was, I'd have to do the math, but I think I was about 12 or 13. It was October of 1989. I remember that much because it was the day of the Loma Prieta earthquake. My mom came in my room as was asking me, well, why do you feel like you need to eat? Why can't you lose weight? Kind of pushing me, and I came up with this idea that felt right to explain that I was feeling a big black pit inside of me with the food. And I realized that coming into program, I had described my God-sized hole at a young age. Even though I had no idea what that meant, I just knew that that's how I had that feeling of just there was never enough food to fill that hole because there isn't enough food to fill the hole the size of God. Moving on through the years, I began driving. Drive-throughs became a big part of my life. I had all the money from babysitting, so that wasn't a problem. Going in and out of Pay and Ways throughout the years, different programs. I'd have some success. I'd lose like 80 pounds, and then, I would have a cheat day, and it would kind of all spiral down from there. And, I'd be standing at the scale in front of somebody going, I don't know how that happened. I don't know why I'm not losing any weight. Well, hello, Jen. You're eating like a maniac, although I didn't even realize how much I was eating because I kind of see my brain in two parts. I've got the disease part of my brain, and I've got the sane part of my brain. My disease was doing magic tricks for my sane brain so that it wasn't aware of what I was actually doing. Through the years, trying to wishing things could be different, praying to God to make me skinny. That's, all the things I did, I had a belief that I was worthless because I was fat, that no one could ever love me because I was fat, because that's what I was pretty much told. Oh, you've got such a pretty face, but guys will never like you. And I believe that. Fast forward throughout the years, just kind of existing like that, miserable, getting bigger and bigger. Pandemic hit, and I got more sedentary. I am a teacher, and I was now sitting in front of a computer all the time, and eating because what else was I going to do? Getting bigger and bigger, still trying to do different pain ways. About 3.5 years ago, I was in a bad car accident, and I had six broken ribs, and I realized how absolutely, yes, it wasn't, it was very uncomfortable. I was in a lot of pain, but I kept thinking to myself, this would be so much easier if I didn't weigh over 400 pounds. It'd be so much easier to move my body. I couldn't get in and out of bed by myself. I couldn't do anything by myself, for the first couple of weeks there. Didn't stop the eating. Continued to eat. And then, by the grace of my higher power, God, In February of 2024, my brother entered program and he started 12-stepping me hard. He recognized me as a compulsive overeater, even though, I mean, neither of us ever exhibited our compulsive behaviors in front of each other. And I never thought for once that he did the same things with food that I did. Mind you, he was over 500 pounds when he entered program. So it's not like, he was a healthy body weight and hit it well, or no, I just couldn't fathom that anybody else would have done that with food that I did. He encouraged me to come to meetings to just listen, just listen. I'd heard of OA before. I had tried to figure out their, oh, let me fi find a meeting, and I can't figure out the website. Forget it. I just wasn't ready. I wasn't willing. I don't think I'd hit my rock bottom. But because he's persistent, and God love him for it, I came to a meeting online with him. I was on his speakerphone. He just put me in front of the computer so I could listen, and I heard my story. I thought, how in the world does this person that I've never met know my story, know what I do with food? And I knew immediately I'd found home. I found home with all of you in this group. I had a lot of fear about letting go of the food. And, I immediately, when I came into program and I said, yes, this is where I need to be, and I started actually coming to meetings myself instead of just via the phone via my brother. I started taking down numbers and I started making calls and, answering calls of people calling me, and figured out what foods trigger me, what behaviors trigger me. But I was getting more awareness, but I still had a lot of fear about letting go of what I call my best friends, the food. So I did baby steps. I did what I called my goodbye tour. This is the last time I'm going to have this for now, because I had to tell myself for now, because if I said forever, my disease bucked really hard and it made it harder. So for now, I'm choosing not to eat this. And I slowly started letting go of some of the behaviors and the foods that were triggering to me. I worked at finding a sponsor because I knew that was an important part of working the steps, and I knew that I needed the steps to stay and get and stay truly abstinent. First person I asked to be my sponsor, I felt like, oh, she's the only one that's ever raising her hand, because I'd go to meetings that would say, if you sponsor, raise your hand. If you're an available sponsor, leave your hand up. Oh, that's the only woman that's leaving her hand up. Okay, then I guess she's the one. And so we started working together, and I quickly realized this is not a good match for me. But I was afraid to let her go. So I waited until I found somebody that was a wonderful match for me, and she's still my sponsor today. And through her, with her, I started working the steps and realizing what a mess my life really was before coming to program. Because I thought, yeah, my food's out of control, my weight's out of control, but my life's all right. But I didn't realize how much my life was controlled. Every thought of it was controlled by the food. So finding my higher power, I am a Christian. I do believe in God and Jesus, but funny, my higher power is I don't see it as the same as the Christianity gods. So, that works for me. And putting my faith in a higher power that can help me overcome this disease that has taken over my life was freeing. And I started seeing that I do have worth and that my higher power does want great things for me. And pretty quickly thereafter, I started to give service to meetings, volunteering to read the readings and the meetings. Or I was in a meeting, there wasn't any abstinent requirement for being secretary. I was like, sure, I could do that. I could read something and kind of whatever. Scared me to death because it was a commitment, but I did it. And it really helped push me to the next level of the meeting or of the program. Did my fourth step, which I was honestly terrified of. I thought, oh, what am I going to discover about myself that I don't know? And I realized I didn't discover anything that I didn't know. It just be my being became clearer, and my motivations for doing things became clearer. And then when I got to step nine, the biggest person I had to make amends to was myself. And so a lot of things that I do today, I call living amends to myself, coming to meetings, doing meal prep, cooking for myself, going to the gym, taking care of myself, getting a massage. That's all to me, caring and loving for myself, where I hadn't done that at all before. I do see a lot of miracles in my life now that I've been in program for a while, more than a couple 2 years. Some of that is the way that I think of myself. I do love myself now. I do think I'm worthy of people's time and love. And honestly, like, I've been on a plateau since October physically with my weight loss, but to me it's a miracle that I'm still at that same weight. Bouncing around like within 5 pounds is to me pretty much the same weight because of, hormones and all that kind of fun stuff. And the other miracle is when I first came into program, I was just diagnosed diabetic, and I am no longer diabetic, which is a miracle. I'm going to share a few pictures here now. So the top few pictures are of me before program, the one with the guy in the gray shirt. That is my brother, and that was like around when I got abstinent. He dragged me to the gym. That was really fun. In the maroon shirt, that was January 2024. And just scrolling, a lot of my pictures end up being in the gym these days. That's where I spend a lot of my time, my trainer. Doing things that I never thought I can do. I go to a CrossFit gym. I think it's absolutely insane, but I'm also very accepted in there. And these are just a couple of my current pictures. And the tattoo is a tattoo I got to remind me that my higher power has me and that I need to ask for its help. Because my will gets me to 457 pounds, which was my starting weight, which, if you kind of look in the butterfly, it does say 457. And I think That's about all I have to say.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Thank you. Please give a round of
Course.
applause to our speaker for their wonderful share. Sorry. It is now time for our Q&A. As we're still recording, we ask that you put your questions in the chat and I will read them aloud. You're welcome to message them to me directly or to the group. We ask that you don't come off mute. We ask that you don't come off mute at this point to ask your question or thank the speaker verbally in this section, as we don't have permission to record other attendees. We'll allow up to 15 minutes for questions for our speaker, after which time we'll have sharing until 15 minutes after the hour and then in our parking lot. So the first question I have here, how did you come to believe you are worthy of love? How did your higher power guide you on that path?
I came to believe that I was worthy of love through my higher power. Because every time I had a thought of being worthless or I'm not worthy of that, there was a little voice in the back of my head that was telling me, no, I don't believe that. You are worthy. You are lovable. And how did I get to that point of being able to love myself? I think through the steps, particularly 4 through 9, working out some of why, what my motivations were for some of my actions. A lot of it was fear-based. And just learning to listen to that little voice, which I call my higher power's voice to me, like little nudges, little, no, I don't believe that. Starting to listen to those more, and through the living amends of kind of faking it until I believed it too is just, yeah. Hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you. How did you conquer the fear of going to the gym or working out the first time? And how do you deal with body change and body image?
The conquering the fear of going to the gym was, again, my lovable pain in the butt brother. He had found a trainer that she knows adaptive stuff, and he said, just come on, come to the gym with me, because he was doing personal training at this CrossFit gym. Oh, she says I could bring somebody. I said, all right, fine. So I went and kind of got hoodwinked into signing up with her and doing some more sessions. And as I went, what I love about this gym is I've never felt judged at this gym. Like, I've been to other gyms where, honestly, like, I hate walking in there because I know everybody's watching me as I do the elliptical or whatever. I go to this gym. And you walk in and everybody's like, hey Jen, how you doing? Great to see you. Everybody knows your name. Everybody's in there working their butts off. And it took me probably about a year before I was willing to take a class. I would do personal training sessions. So I guess that's how I kind of worked up the courage, as I started getting stronger with the personal trainer. And then when I started taking classes, and I mean, I knew a lot of people in there because of, I'd go at the same time a class was going or something. And it's just such a supportive environment. Like, yeah, I just, And yeah, I can't say enough about this CrossFit gym. And how have I dealt with changing body image? Honestly, I think the plateau I'm on is actually helping me a lot with that, because in my head, I was still a 450 pound woman. So I'd look at something and be like, there's no way I'm going to fit in that. Or, because I've gone to many other places and like a theater and tried to sit down. And it's like I couldn't even fit in a seat. And now, like, oh, I'd have the thought and like, oh, okay. Well, let me just try it. And it's like, oh, that's actually almost comfortable. I mean, I'm still not a normal, healthy size body, but, 300 pounds is a lot smaller than 450. So, yeah, just learning, taking it one day at a time and just kind of leaning into the whole process. And this is, again, listening to those nudges that my higher power gives me of like, nope, you can wear that smaller shirt. It fits you. Look at, and sometimes it takes a picture to show me that, so I was wearing like still the size 6X shirts at one point, and my trainer took a video of me and sent it to me, and I was looking at it and like I couldn't even look at the action I was doing. I was looking at the shirt going, geez, that looks like a tent. What am I doing wearing that? But yeah, hopefully that answers that question.
Thank you. Yeah. How do you know when you are spiritually fit? And can you describe a spiritual experience which is vital?
I honestly don't know. I don't know. I think of spiritual experiences like my nudges. And I've had those pretty much my whole life. And it's been proven to me time and time again when I don't listen to them, bad things happen. For instance, the car accident that I referred to earlier, I had heard in my head, my light had turned green, and I'd heard in my head, don't go. And I sat there and I'm like, I'm gonna get honked at pretty soon. And so I started to, I looked both ways. I didn't see anybody, but I couldn't see one way because there was a bigger vehicle there. And I went. And that's when I got hit by somebody that ran a red light. So, and little instances like that, I mean, that was one of the bigger instances of my life, led me to believe that I can trust that nudge that I hear. And I was fortunate that I came into program with that knowledge. And I don't know about the spiritually fit. I guess I don't know that. I don't know that answer.
Thank you. Can you talk more about the God-sized hole? What fills that now? Can you feel a difference?
I can feel the difference. Definitely spirituality helps fill that hole a lot. Connecting to fellows, connecting to friends and family outside of program also helps fill that hole. Because, in my days prior to OA, I pushed friends and family away too. So living in today and taking in all the good things, doing gratitudes helps fill that hole too. But a big part of it is spirituality and just living in the today and accepting where I am. And yeah, I mean, there's, of course, there's days where it's, I feel a little bit more, and that's when the food starts talking to me, because that still happens. And that's when, you know, pull out my tools and okay, let's make a phone call. Let's, you know, pray. Let's do some writing, go to a meeting, and that helps fill that hole.
Thank you. How did you start the journey of following your meal plan and not indulging in foods that came up in everyday life, like unplanned meal times, buffets, etc.?
I got great advice from some fellow when I first came into a program that said baby steps. And that's where I was doing the goodbye tour of one, okay, let's, you know, I had fear around letting go of the food. So, okay, let's just look at the behaviors. What's one small thing that I can do that doesn't feel so scary to let go of? So, like, the first thing I did was okay, no eating in the car, because that was a big one for me. And then, okay, let's, you know, let go of this food or that food, and just, and I really started to become hyper aware of what I was eating and how I was trying to link it. So another thing a fellow told me was, don't just write a list of alcoholic foods, red light foods, whatever you want to call them, but write next to those foods how they truly make you feel. When I indulge in this food, how does it really make me feel? And when I did that, honestly, there wasn't one positive feeling associated with any of those foods. So I think that kind of started to make it a little bit easier, along with doing some writing on why I was having trouble letting go of the foods, and that was all fear-based. Yeah, it, I to me, it's, that's kind of one of the miracles of this program to me, because I think I had enough desperation to be willing to face those fears.
Thank you. What daily practices keep you aligned with your higher power?
Praying every morning as soon as I get up, giving gratitudes to my higher power for just being alive, a lot of days, is the best way I start. I also read both dailies from the OA program every morning. And I write in the For Today workbook. There's a little workbook that goes with the For Today. There's one for Voices of Recovery as well, but I have that one, but I'm focused on For Today right now. And so I do that, just a little reflection on what that meant for me for the for today. I wish I was better at meditation, because I know that also gives me that quiet time to connect with higher power, but I'm working on that one. That one's also a work in progress. Yeah, but just, you know, when I do let the noisy world shut down for a little bit to meditate. You know, I'll just set a timer for 5 minutes just to just focus on breathing and try to bring that awareness to myself, kind of do a self check-in. How am I feeling today? Think that's about it.
Yeah. Thank you. Here, I'll throw out one last question. How have your relationships with friends, coworkers, and family changed as you've walked your recovery journey?
I think they've changed because I've gotten closer to a lot of people because I've been honest. You know, I've, you know, been talking with friends and, you know, oh, you know, I used to do this or that, you know, because of course, having the physical recovery I've had, people know and ask and acknowledge, the weight loss. And it's, you know, being vulnerable and opening up to people in my life outside of OA has allowed me to get closer to them just because I've been able to be honest with them and myself.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for all your answers and for your share. Thanks so much for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.